Good morning. I hope y'all can take me seriously this morning. I'm going to complete the ensemble just for a little bit here. Glenn, our guitarist, yesterday also was a tree. I was an inflatable tree for the Winter Carnival. And Glenn shows up with his dog. And I've never been more nervous being a tree with a dog in my presence. But it was fun to see him there with his kids last night. I feel weird wearing a hat, so I am going to take it off just because we're in worship. But that's my issue, not yours. If you wear a hat, by all means. But I'm going to read from Scripture. I'm going to read the Old Testament and from the New Testament. First is a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. And Isaiah says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and no more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord." Amen. In the words of Christ from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The words of Christ. What fun readings this morning. And they really point to sort of the tension and the theme that is in Advent. Advent is a season of waiting, a season of anticipating. Advent brings with it sort of its own set of tensions. Advent is a season of tension, where on one hand you have one thing that could be happening, on the other end you have something else altogether that could be happening, and we are asked as the people of God to sit in the middle of this tension. One of the tensions of Advent is the hope in the now and the not yet. That is, we as God's people hope for the future. When there is no more weeping or grief or loss, and the lion and the lamb will lay down together in peace. When there is a new creation and everything is restored, and Advent really is about reflecting on the fact that we wait for Christ to come again. But then on the other end of that tension is the now, which is Christ has come. In him, you are currently a new creation. We are called to be bearers of the light, to leave here and bring tidings of comfort and joy because Christ reigns. But this is what's hard, is in this tension of now things are real and things are not yet fully real, we struggle. And what most people do when they find themselves in a situation where there's two different ideas in tension with each other, is they hop on one or the other because they can't sit in that tension. And so you have a lot of people that don't believe what happens now matters as much as what will happen. They can't sit in the tension, so they make it all about Christ coming back. And at that point, finally, things will be restored. But for now, there's nothing to be done but wait. And then you have others relieve the tension by going the other way, which is Christ is present now. He's with us. We're called to roll up our sleeves and get to work and bring peace and justice. Because it's here and now, it's imminent, it's real. And we don't need to worry about the future because it's going to do itself. So let's do things now. And the reality of Advent is that we're supposed to believe both. We're supposed to sit with both. Like, yes, we need to be active in our faith. We need to be faithful now. And yes, we need to acknowledge that there's a lot that can't happen in its fullness until Christ returns. And so we find ourselves in a little bit of a waiting game. We're waiting to be faithful ourselves, to show up where God wants us to, and we're waiting for Him to fix us and make everything in creation whole again. And this is the game that God's people also played. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. And if there's a few things that I know to be true, that is, people have a hard time sitting in tension between two ideas that seem opposed to each other, and people have a hard time waiting. I've shared this video before in a service, but there was a study, it was called the Marshmallow Experiment, and they were trying to illustrate just how much people could wait or how you could improve your endurance in waiting, and they used kids, and what they did is they put kids in a room, and they put a beautiful, delicious, fluffy marshmallow in front of them. And they told the kid, if you can wait until I come back, I will give you two marshmallows. And so they would put the marshmallow in front of the kid, and they'd leave the room, and the kid would just stare at that marshmallow. Some kids were able to wait for what was to come and get that second. Other kids were a little more tempted, so you'd see kids picking up the marshmallow and touching it. You'd see kids smelling it. Some kids would like lick it, but not take a bite to see if they could get away with it. I used to do something similar at my house with my kids. I called it the cookie experiment. I wish I was making this up, but I am not. I would put a cookie in front of all three of my kids, and I would say, whoever can wait the longest gets an extra cookie. And I'm not saying you should take parenting advice from me. I'm just saying they'll talk to a therapist about this someday. I don't know. But what I was trying to do is teach them to be patient, to wait, to be able to refrain from just diving in to the thing that they want, because waiting is really hard, really hard. And God's people waited 2,000 years before Christ showed up. And the reason why this is hard is because not only were they waiting, but it's because they were being told about what to expect and what is to come. And we had started with Abraham. Abraham was called, and God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and through your descendants, all the world will be blessed. And so they're like excited, right? But then what happens in the story? Does Abraham and Sarah, they're waiting to have children so they can have a great nation and bless other people, and the baby's not coming. And so they get tired of waiting. They're like, tick-tock, God, tick-tock. And they take matters into their own hands and try another way. And it creates problems. So many problems. But here they were waiting for the world to be redeemed through their family. As God's people followed God, and as they got their country and things got established, they were hearing from the prophets, and the prophets were also saying things to them. Isaiah said in what we just read, he said, for behold, I'll create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. There's this promise that there's going to be this new thing. Hang in there. Wait. Just keep going. Or at the end of Isaiah, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food, and they shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, says the Lord. And so God's people, obviously, like, they lived in a country that was full of conflict. Other nations were conquering them. There was conflict all the time, and they had to hear these words and think, yes, God, let's do this. Why are we having to wait? Where is the peace? Where is your presence? When will the lion and the lamb finally lay down together? And in this tension and in this waiting, they lost trust and they lost faith, and they didn't go where God was leading them. I mean, it's astounding. There's sections in the Old Testament where it says, like, oh, they're like doing some renovations and they discover like the Old Testament again. Like, they discover the Ten Commandments and they're like, well, what's this? Well, it's the Word of God, and we've all forgotten it. That happened within the generations in the Old Testament. And I think Jesus realizes that we have a hard time waiting, and I think Jesus knows that we have a hard time living in tension. And when you get to the Gospels, I mean, when Jesus showed up in that waiting game, that 2,000-year waiting game, they'd been making decisions for themselves, doing what they thought was right, doing what they thought would help God achieve His will. And a lot of things Jesus had to correct, had to just nudge in a slightly different direction. I mean, it's one of the reasons He got crucified, ultimately, because He wasn't, like, fully in support of what the religious leadership was doing then. He was challenging, He was correcting, He was teaching. And we find ourselves waiting now, just like God's people did then. Jesus said in Luke 18, He said, and this is prophetic, He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? That is, as we wait, as we live in the tension, how many will keep to the faith? How many generations do we go before we forget? Before the question is, will He find it when He comes back? It happened really quickly. This is why Paul, when you get into the New Testament and he's writing to the early churches, they're already forgetting, they're already asking questions, they're already struggling living in the now and not yet. Yes, Christ has defeated death, but here we are still waiting. And so Paul, in all of his letters, he's pressing, impressing upon them to not forget, to remember, to press on towards the prize that is theirs in Christ Jesus, to not forget what is to come, to keep moving forward and trusting in Christ, who died on the cross for you for new life. And he pushes and encourages and calls the church to not forget, to not lose sight of Jesus. Because almost right on the heels, already, people were having trouble living in the tension and waiting. In the gospel lesson in Matthew 24, it says, then will appear in heaven, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. What struck me about this passage in Matthew 24, it's that sort of glimpse of Christ's return, is the sentence, the tribes of the earth will mourn. And I thought, why, when Christ returns, would there be mourning? Why wouldn't people be like, yes, finally, what we've been waiting for? Well, I think they're going to be mourning because they don't have faith. It's like, it's instead of yay, it's more like, uh-oh. A little bit ahead of this, Jesus is teaching us some parables. One of the things He says struck me before He said this. In verse 12, He says, the love of many will grow cold. I mean, basically he's saying that as we go through time and space here, people's love for me, for each other, it's going to grow cold. And then when I do come again, yeah, people are going to mourn because it's going to be like the great correction. And I do, I worry about this. And in this is the Advent tension. Like we're waiting, but while we wait, we don't want to grow cold. While we wait, we don't want to lose sight of what Christ is calling us to. We want to try to be faithful. And so one of the Advent tensions is not just the now and not yet, it's the tension of the joy and the sorrow. I mean, in Advent, there's a sense of joy because Christ will come again and restore all things, and he's come even now. He's with us. He's forgiven us. He's changing our hearts. He's leading us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's a lot of joy in that. But there's also the sorrow. The sorrow that some hearts have grown cold. The sorrow that there is still death, still grief, still war, divorce, cancer, loss, pain. And so we have hope now and are hopeful for things to come. And that's a tension. It's a mixed bag, right? We celebrate what we have in Christ, but we're also sad because of what we don't yet have. And it's not just us. I mean, we just see this throughout Scripture. Paul talks about this with creation. He says the creation waits with eager longing for its restoration. Like, all of creation is living in this Advent tension of being under the authority of God, being in and through God, but still not being fully redeemed in the brokenness of creation. And what's interesting about this is even non-believers have this holy sense of brokenness. They live, whether they acknowledge Christ or not, they live in this Advent tension as well. They know that the world isn't as it should be. Which is why a lot of non-Christians will roll up their sleeves and feed the poor and take care of the homeless and try to do things to bring justice into this world because they see that the world is broken. And so they get to work. There's this project called the Kululun Project that I learned about, and it's not explicitly Christian. It's a social justice thing, and they want to pull people together, and really they do it through music, and they try to bring, you know, joy, peace, and unity through song. And I stumbled upon it because I've been teaching this Bible study on Israel and all this stuff, there's a Jewish artist by the name of Mitziyahu, and he wrote a song called One Day. And this the Kululun Project gathered 3,000 Jewish people, Arab people, and Christian people. So Jews, Islams, and Islamic people, and Christian people into a warehouse hangar. And they taught them this song, and they sang it together. And what it expressed is that deep yearning that we find ourselves living in this world, in that tension. And I do want to share this clip with you because I just find it incredibly moving and powerful. I just want to say, like, you know, there's a lot of different beliefs in that group, and they all yearn for the same thing, and we know where that will ultimately come. Like, we know there will be an end to the violence, there will be an end to the pain, and we know it'll all happen one day. But this is the Advent tension that we live in. Is that we have to figure out in a broken world how to be faithful and bring the light of Christ, and even as we do that, we wait expectantly for Christ to come and set us free. Last Sunday, Anthony was kind of, as usual, giving me a hard time about being all about Christmas when Advent is his favorite time of year, which is weird. And Advent, I jokingly said to him, it's like Ad-Lent, like it's like pre-Lent, it's like a taste of Lent, basically. And as I was reflecting on the sermon today and just, you know, reading through things, it kind of occurred to me that, I mean, honestly, maybe Advent doesn't seem like a special church season to me, because Advent is every day. Like, Advent is every single day. I am waiting. Waiting to see Christ break into lives of people, to fix brokenness inside of me, to bring peace where there is suffering, and unity where there is brokenness, every single day. And so we find ourselves waiting. And I think this is why I do like Christmas so much. I think it's why I like Easter too. It's because it's the two times of year where we're not living in Advent, but we actually get to eat the cookie and celebrate what we have now. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.